Welcome to another episode of the Nerdcast. I have Adam, Tyler, Bob, and myself, Iggy, here.
Hooray!
Howdy.
All right, awesome. Okay, so Aaron, oh, by the way, Aaron is here. She's just writing names.
Can you
make
Joe?
No.
Yo.
I'm glad nobody heard that. Yo. But anyways, awesome. So we are in celebration for episode 25.
25?
Hooray!
I don't know
century mark.
I don't know if you're going to call it really a celebration or not, but we are going to spend a good portion of this episode talking about the Ninja Turtles, because we're either celebrating what could end up be a surprisingly good movie or celebrating what was.
If it's good, I'll be surprised.
30 good years.
I was still holding out hope for a while. I was holding out quite a bit of hope. Just, you know, maybe it won't be that bad. The first Transformers movie wasn't that bad. Maybe. And then I realized that they had kept the moratorium on reviews up until like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That never bodes well for a movie.
So before we get too deep into the Ninja Turtles, we are going to spend a few minutes on relative topics that is brought to you by, oh, wait a second, nobody. But hey, guess what? We do have advertising space available on the Nerdcast. So definitely hit us up at advertise@projectnerd.com.
Well played.
And this could be where you fit. But Bob really was excited to talk about something in particular here, so I'm going to let him get us started.
All right.
With it.
DC blinked. The Batman versus Superman and Captain America, they were both set up to be released on, I think it was May 3rd of 2016. DC blinked. They moved it to, I believe it's March 25th is when Batman.
At least
that sounds right.
At least they moved it up this time instead of back.
They did two great things with it. They moved it up and they covered up the blink by announcing 9 other dates with no titles attached.
Exactly.
To it.
but
it's giving us 2 movies a year in a 5-year span.
Some of this stuff was supposed
shenanigans.
To be, I mean, like the word on the street was all these things were going to start coming out at Comic-Con.
Because
a lot of these movies have been in development. The question is the ones that you hear the most about are the ones that I don't know how you fit them into your idea of we want to do a Marvel Cinematic Universe only with DC. Specifically, like
a DC Cinematic Universe.
They've been working on Sandman. Joe Sigourney's been working on Sandman for Sandman. Neil Gaiman's Sandman does not fit into any.
I don't think anything they release Vertigo is it. You're going to have 2 dates a year, but I don't think anything's going to necessarily tie together with those. But you were
well. I don't. Yeah. Right. So all of a sudden, DC apparently
frustrated here.
It is frustrating. All of a sudden, they're putting out all these. We're going to have 9 movies by 2020. It's like, okay, well, let's get 1 movie and let's actually get it in the year it was supposed to be, 2015. We were supposed to have Batman vs. Superman in 2015. They got pushed back because Ben got hurt. Batfleck got damaged. And so they had to wait. And then they moved it back up, but they didn't move it to where it's supposed to be. They moved it a couple months up, so it's definitely dodging Marvel, which is a smart play for them because otherwise they would have been crushed by Captain America.
Well, to be fair, this was something that we knew had to happen, and bravo to them for doing it as early as they did.
Well, it's going to damage both studios if they don't do it.
Well, as near as a few months ago, they were adamant that, well, we're not changing. Like, no, you're going to change because, yeah.
they were trying to pull their cards, but they haven't delivered on any level in this cinematic universe fight. So, but like you said, it's a good move because it saves both franchises from any damage. Yes, Captain America would have destroyed it, but they could have still hurt their numbers.
I think they probably felt like they had a better chance before because they announced it well before Winter Soldier had come out.
Right.
You take the success of Winter Soldier, the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, and the fact that this will be one of the first Phase 3 movies, so post Avengers 2 movies, and like, there's nothing that gets the pump primed again for solo movies like the Avengers. Like, Avengers 1 made Iron Man 3, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Dark World, like, way bigger than I think they would have been on their own. Once you get another Avengers film out there, everyone gets re-energized around everything that's going on. There's a whole, if it's anything like Avengers 1, they'll change the whole status quo of the world.
Well, it kind of, it closes, the Avengers movies kind of close some of the questions from the phase, if you will, that's what Marvel calls them, and creates the opening for more stories.
Yeah.
And so you're exactly right. I think yes, both series would have been hurt by them staying on the same date, but it would have been a perception nightmare for DC because Captain would have won.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the juggernaut that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe has reached critical mass now. I don't think James Cameron puts Avatar 2 against a Marvel movie.
No,
like, I don't think there's anything out there. Like, there are movies out there that could slow Marvel down, but there's no movie that... I don't know of a movie franchise that could release a movie today against a Marvel movie and win the box office.
Oh, no.
Again.
No, they're not going to win it.
I've got one.
What's that?
Well, it's half Marvel. If Fox get their act together and do a Deadpool movie, I think that could beat Thor for sure.
I don't know, because you're talking a PG-13 rating versus a rated R rating if you do Deadpool.
And Deadpool has to hurt some
of your numbers.
It won't be, though.
If it's a PG-13,
if they do it like they have the test footage,
it's not going to do well.
Is going to let anyone release a quote-unquote superhero movie that's rated R.
Punisher? Right.
Yeah, and look how much money that made.
Yeah, true.
That's why they won't do it.
I don't know. I think you
but
can get the pull with Deadpool.
I think, but
right
there's such a...
If you look at the highest grossing
fan...
movies of all time, like, you have to go down like 40 spots to find a rated R movie.
Yeah.
And it's like Jaws, you know? Like, it's not going to be... And I don't... As much as I love Deadpool, no Deadpool is going to be Jaws, you know?
But, you know, talking about these nine dates, if you want, you know, that DC announced, or Warner... It was actually Warner Brother that really announced it. Two of those are supposed to be Warner Brother event movies. They're not really classified as DC event movies.
Okay.
So I don't know what... It may be a reboot of Harry Potter.
I'll tell you, you know what Warner Brothers needs to do, and DC needs to just get on board with it, because, I don't know, like, we've talked about this many times. First of all, they need
movies.
To put Grow someone in hair? Charge. They need to find someone who straddles that line between movie producers / passionate, like, they need to find their Kevin Feige
that,
and put him
that
in charge.
Comic executive
right.
slash
and put him in
producer,
charge
yep.
and be like, you're in charge, like, you get to make all the calls. But
and you can
two,
do it. Well, before we move on,
point,
hold
like,
on, before you move on to two, number one, they can do it because Warner Brothers owns DC Comics. They have all along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have all of this at
all
your fingertips.
Material,
it's your
right,
company.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you can
put
do
somebody
want,
in that position.
They need to find someone who can take that position. And if not, and I feel like this is a big opportunity for them, like, I know it would be a daunting task, but here's what you do, is you cut out all the plans you have for these big, bloated, live-action movies that you have yet to get success with, unless Christopher Nolan was in charge, and you dump all that money into the Warner Brothers animation department, like you had in the early 90s, back when Steven Spielberg was producing things like that. You take all that money and dump it in and bring back like an animation renaissance, like Batman, you know, get Paul Dini,
release
like
the
that.
Whole Netflix channel or something.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
No,
streaming
go
service.
And go
an Animaniacs
make,
movie.
Go
Are
and make
me?
A well financed, well written, well directed, well voice acted, like Mask of the Phantasm. Go make, because that's the only thing that DC's done that's like true to the source material and really good in the last 20 years, except not counting Christopher Nolan, are the animated shows.
They're still doing it with Warner
and
Premiere.
Still,
with
Warner
their
Premiere's still doing an amazing job.
75, 80 minute long
between their shows,
film.
Like right. Batman the Animated Series, Batman Superman Adventures, even like the off title ones like The Batman, Batman Brave and the Bold, Justice League,
Justice League Doom.
Go dump a crap ton of money, like go dump like Disney in the early 90s kind of money into your animation department. And make some really big animated feature films around the Justice League.
So
around,
we have nine dates. Saying two of them technically are just Warner at large. So I wouldn't think a Harry Potter reboot, but possibly they've talked about the new.
They've talked about
movies.
Other movies. Yeah.
So you have two of those gone.
Harry
so you're at seven.
Creatures.
You have most likely a Justice League in there to come off of Batman versus Superman, a Superman solo one. So you got two more gone. So you're down to five movies. Shazam, Sandman.
Shazam.
Yeah. We know those two. So we have three other titles. What are they?
Are they going to take another... I assume that at some point they're going to have to take another crack at Green Lantern.
Yeah.
So is it the heavily rumored Green Lantern / Flash combo movie there?
I think so. I feel like that's got to be... I just... I have trouble grasping it. I get it. Like, they're... I guess they're just worried about it. Like, what is their problem with thinking that, like, one superhero can't carry a movie by himself?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And or not even that. Once you say, okay, we're going to do this with two people, wait a second, let's just bring in the entire DC universe.
Right, why not? They're terrified of making a movie that's not Superman or Batman. To the point now they're putting those two of
those
them in
the
movie
together.
Those two
are
together.
No.
Yeah. Like, because, like,
Green Lantern could carry it. He's a good enough character. I think the hype that Marvel has built could actually help DC with single character movies, and they, at least opening weekend.
I think that they could do a really good job. They just, like I said, they need someone who's on both sides of the fence, who's passionate about the material, because the reason that DC movies haven't been successful is because they haven't been very good.
No. Yeah. That's what you have. You cast Hal Jordan great.
So look at Green Lantern. They had amazing cast between Peter Sarsgaard, Blake Lively,
Tim Robbins,
and Ryan Reynolds. Really cast well. It was just a really terrible script.
Yeah. Well, like,
Mark Strong as Sinestro.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't true to the Green Lantern comics. It wasn't engaging. The villain was it wasn't a good movie. It was poorly directed. It was poorly written. Like, go get you've had three successful movies since, you know, like the Tim Bat Burton. Nipples. Like you've had three successful movies since like Tim Burton was making movies for you. And all three of those were written and directed by a guy who's generally considered to be a really good writer and director who's made amazing movies.
Generally considered or overall?
He's had a couple movies that aren't super popular with some people. I get that.
They're still good movies.
I think so. But who directed the Green Lantern?
That's a great question, and that's probably why.
I can tell you who directed every single Marvel movie. And it's not just because like I was really into those movies. It's because they were all people that everyone knew. You have Jon Favreau for Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2. You have Kenneth Branagh for Thor 1. You went and got Joe Johnson for Captain America
Shane,
1.
Shane Black
you
on
went
Iron
Shane
Man 3.
Blank, Shane Black on Iron Man 3. You got Joss Whedon for Avengers. You got the brothers from like Community and stuff like that to do Captain America 2. You got James Gunn to do Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, they didn't just phone these ones in. Like, they went and got top-notch talent to direct. They went and got top-notch talent to write. And they got top-notch talent to play everyone from the main character to, like, the guy who's got two scenes and three lines in the movie. Like, and they stayed true to the source material.
So,
and DC hasn't figured that one out yet.
Yeah. Is one of those three movies a Wonder Woman movie? Is it a standalone Wonder Woman movie? And I know everybody wants to jump in, no, but let's keep in mind, Sony is going crazy now to try to get, they're talking about even pushing Sinister Six way back to get a Black Cat or some kind
or
of movie.
Spider-Woman.
Like, to get a female hero out there.
Can they do Spider-Woman?
Yeah, they own the rights to anything that's in the Spider-Man universe.
I guess Spider-Woman is not really in the Spider-Man universe.
She was part of the agreement. Okay. She is one of. There's been a lot of that talk this week too of the agreements and how it's affecting Marvel.
I get that Fox has the rights to anything that's in like the mutants, like anyone who's a quote unquote mutant, they have rights to. But Spider-Woman doesn't really have any ties to Peter Parker other than her name is Spider-Woman.
So I won't go too far into it, but really quickly to explain, and we'll, like I said, we'll have a news story out on this week, so you can go back on our blog and take a look at it. Marvel and Fox's deal still has Marvel basically tied and stuffed in a closet from the bankruptcy, and they can't even, Marvel won't even create a character in the X-Men world or the mutant part of the universe. They won't do anything with Fantastic Four. In fact, some Marvel executives have even said, let's cancel the Fantastic Four comic series altogether, because even their comic sales, any other sales they do, part of that revenue goes to Fox. Sony, however, renegotiated with Marvel, and Marvel doesn't lose out on a lot of this other stuff, and they get a bigger take on the movie, so you're going to see a lot more hand-in-hand stuff there, the Spider-Man toys that come out.
More willing
like
to
that.
Work with Sony
however,
than they are with Fox.
However,
sure.
Sony has the access to rights or already signed over rights to any characters that even are not only in the Spider-Man like comics that don't appear in these other bigger titles, but also can just like loose appearances. They can go and negotiate something with Marvel as long as it's involved with Spider-Man and
Captain America showed up in Spider-Man comics.
Okay, but
Marvel's
not going to hand that
over. I'm just curious, like if it's already a done deal, they can just go and do it, or they have to go and
now
like, if they want to go use like Morpheus or Blade or the Punisher or stuff like
no,
that.
No, so now they the rumor
got,
is
Marvel just got all those titles back.
Yeah.
I know, but they show up in Spider-Man comics all the time.
But the rumor is that it's one of three, and I can't even think of the third one. Is Black Cat, Spider-Woman, and I can't even think of the third female, and that they have the rights to green light any of those at any moment. So I don't know how it was pre-negotiated, but that's what's going on.
I just wonder how. I mean, as much as I sound like probably sound like a male chauvinist pig here, I just think some of that is just kind of a knee jerk reaction to, like I said, DC getting Wonder Woman, women, you know, like I said, the females. going to Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, I just, and Thor being now is as a woman, I just think a lot of that is just turning into
a
knee jerk.
On the Sony side of things, I agree. And yeah. I think it's very clear that they've said, we're going to push Sinister Six back and give us a female movie, and they don't even know who it is. That is clearly that. However, if DC was to give one of those open slots to a Wonder Woman movie, that's not. Wonder Woman is an iconic, long-lasting female
and
character.
And I absolutely agree. And I,
who
and
deserves her own movie.
She really does.
I don't, and that's the thing. I don't think she doesn't deserve her own movie. I don't
well,
think
I know.
They're going to make it.
Well, yeah, that's
I don't
the
think
problem.
They're
I just think that I just think people in the back of their head have Catwoman.
Well, I don't have any.
And Elektra.
Even worse.
No one has. No one has any of that.
They're not. So, I don't think they're going to do it. And the part of it is I'm convinced that DC is incapable of making a good decision right now. The fact that they're not willing to make just a Batman or Superman movie right now, they have to put them both in the same movie, means that
they're just reacting to what other studios.
You're not going to see a standalone movie about a single DC character until DC and Warner Brothers manage to make a successful movie.
All right.
That's not a Nolan Batman.
So we've got to move on, but we're going to stay in the world of superheroes and stay in even the discussion of DC. Gotham releases a new teaser this week that has a little tribute to not just the Joker, but even Christopher Nolan, Heath Ledger's interpretation of the Joker. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, did y'all see that?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah.
I didn't watch the trailer itself, but I saw the picture of it, and it's the two detectives. So you have the what's his partner's name? I can't.
Harvey Bullock?
Yes, thank you, yeah. Bullock. Bullock and Gordon, and they're kind of like through a shaded glass, so you see them, but they... The way they're standing and the way they have it photographed to make these eyes, and then there's that blood smear that looks like
it's
a smile.
It's creepy.
So it looks a lot like the Why So Serious posters.
Yeah.
So here's my concern with this movie. The look of it looks fun.
The show.
The TV show.
Sorry, the show. The look of it looks fun. The whole, like, the art direction, like, the design. The characters seem pretty, like, I love, what's his name? The guy that's playing Harvey Bullock.
I'm not sure who
is. I don't even know who's cast on this series, to be honest. I haven't.
The only one I know is Jada
Pinkett Smith.
He was in,
like, Vikings and Terriers and Tower of Steve. God, what is his name? Red Hair.
All right, so you like the guy
who played
Bullock. The guy with the red hair.
I'm worried this, like, how many Batman villains can we introduce and put them in a TV show without them having to fight Batman?
Or with them being how much older than Batman's going to be
that
now?
That much older than Batman, yeah.
So when Batman grows up, he has a lot of guys.
Geriatric.
They're all at their walkers.
Octogenarians. No wonder he dominates Gotham.
Arkham Retirement Home is where they
get
them.
Right. Get off my lawn.
All the fighting takes place at their
retirement. But yeah, I mean, like... On my hip. And how, I mean...
Arkham isn't an asylum, it's the retirement.
It's the retirement community. But how weird can you get your villains when the only people who are left to fight against them are to beat cops in Gotham City?
Yeah.
Like, if the movie had
he's
been
a
more,
war hero, though.
I know, but if the TV show had been...
It's a crime drama.
If the TV show had been more focused around, like, the procedural crime drama, like, use Gotham as the backdrop, but your villains are, like, the Falconis of the world.
Yes.
And the Penguin works, because he's not so much as...
Right.
He's more a facilitator and a backroom dealing kind of guy, but I don't know. They keep introducing or hinting at all these supervillains without Batman.
Yeah. You can't introduce Selina Kyle yet.
She's already in there.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Is you can't do that. Dr. Isley, the Joker, any of those, even as just regular characters that eventually become villains, because you're aging them a generation ahead of Bruce Wayne. I don't know. I see everything wrong with this series. We talk about the concerns and the issues we have with the DC cinematic world. This to me has disaster. It's going
to
be a successful show.
I just
but to
have
me
to see
in
it
terms
before
of,
I can make any real opinions. I mean, we're all just going on speculation.
Why do you say it'll be successful? The show though,
I don't think so.
Anything tied to Batman, I think, is going to be successful. I think people are going to like it.
I think people are going to be drawn to it. Just
I think people.
That's a good way to put it.
See,
they're going to be drawn.
True,
to it
they'll be drawn. I think it'll be successful out the gate. But look what happened to like
Marvel
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. barely hung on to deer. Like it barely got a second season.
Okay. Well, I.
And it's not on the WB.
Case in point, it'll be greenlit for a second season at least.
It's on the WB, though.
Even if it's on a Lifeline.
Everything survives
CW.
On the WB.
CW now.
Isn't
I'm sorry. It's been the CW for years. I still call it the WB.
It's the same thing.
Well, not everyone's going to be as pretty as they are on the CW.
So, other big news this week. I know I felt like we had something else on the plate.
What was that?
Bob was going crazy about that. We had to set this time aside for two things.
I just mentioned that.
You got your one in there.
I got my one. What was the other thing?
Maybe we can talk about Constantine some more and piss off Iggy.
So one thing I will mention is we do also this week have our movie night with Project Nerd come out that actually features the entire Nerdcast crew. So we are strangely omitting Guardians of the Galaxy discussion here, but that's because we spent an entire 40 minutes or so on another podcast. So check out our movie night with Project Nerd this week, all about Guardians of the Galaxy. We will warn you here, as we did there, it is spoiler heavy.
Spoiler.
So
it's on the same RSS feed, so you can't miss
that's
it.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah. If you're checking this out in any of our feeds coming from Podbean, iTunes, RSS, yeah, anything like that, it's going to be the thing that just populated right before this. So perfect. But one thing that I don't know how to use the word. You excited for? We're anxious. We're anxious.
Nervous?
For nervous. Maybe a good word.
Skeptical.
Is the Michael Bay optimistic. Produced the oh. Liebsman directed?
Before we get into that, can I talk about something?
Oh, well, you had I put it out there.
Then you started talking, okay. And I didn't get a chance to
we
talk.
We can't
okay.
Stop you from talking.
This is your Tyler moment right here. I'm moving to the next segment.
Well, we're gonna spend a lot of time talking about the
we're
Ninja
not
Turtle.
At this rate. You guys are you're putting all the time in.
You're
here.
Fine. Well, you're fine.
Talk.
This is an important thing, I think, that we need to bring up. This week, we did launch our All One campaign.
Good point.
It's an anti-bullying campaign that we have that I am very passionate about. I think that bullying is awful, obviously. Everybody thinks that. Everybody thinks about it in terms of, you know, when you think of bullying, you think of classic 80s movies and people getting stuffed in lockers, but it's much, much more than that. You know. It's something as simple as going to a con with your friends and laughing at a kid wearing a shirt that of a show that you don't like. You know, that might impact him or her more than you can possibly imagine. So we want everyone listening, everyone that follows Project Nerd to take a stand against that and stop bullying and be conscious of what they're doing to other people in the community. The geek community used to be all about acceptance. We love all sorts of things, and we need to be allowing for people to love the things that they love without having to worry about us making fun of them just like the jocks do or anything like that. We need to be better than we are being. And so we've launched a campaign. We call it All One. We have a t-shirt where we're donating all the profits to the National Bullying Prevention Center. That's a group that provides services and
counseling.
Money and counseling and all sorts of stuff to people all across the country. So it's something we're really, really excited about. Check out our, you know, if you're listening to this, go to our website. You'll see all of our campaign information there.
We will hopefully very soon have a banner at the top of the site. Additionally, of course, on our Facebook page, it's just facebook.com/projectnerdblog has the banner and all that going on. But also you can go to teespring.com/allone. To actually pick up the shirt. And for those of you, I know many of you that listen actually do see us out events and all that. Our blue shirt with the white glasses on it, that is a very popular design. We basically transformed it to the orange shirt because the orange is the official color,
for anti-bullying.
There you go. With the blue glasses on it, this is the only time that shirt will be available. And you heard Adam correct, 100% of the profits will go to the campaign or to the National Bullying Prevention Center. So a great way to kind of put your money where your mouth is as well. But of course, many other options to just put your word out there, share that link, give us your feedback, maybe share a story to help other people connect, all kinds of ways you can definitely get involved with it. Running through August 28th, I want to say, but the earlier you get your shirts, the earlier you don't pay until the campaign's done. So you can go in and pre-order as soon as you
want.
Now
there's also more than just t-shirts. There's also like long sleeve shirts.
That's true.
And hoodies.
You can do a hoodie. You can do a long sleeve shirt. There's the women's cut shirt. There's the two versions of the shirt. There's your standard Hanes tagless with it. So a good shirt. But then there's the premium American apparel, like a higher quality shirt option as well. That's just $2 more. So it's $15 for the regular shirt. $15 for the woman's cut, $17 for the higher quality, and then I want to say, is the hoodie at $35?
I think it's thirty-five.
Okay, and once again, 100% of the
good
profits.
Good quality hoodie too.
Yeah, 100% of the profits go to the campaign. So, thank you, Adam. I'm glad you did sidetrack us for a few minutes with that. All right.
Who decides? Like, who decides and hands out the colors? The various
organizations.
How do you decide? Like, this is what I'm fighting against, and my color is going.
Well, pink, you know, kind of makes sense.
Well, pink with the breast cancer, I get that. And then, like, yellow for, like, the troops, red for, like, heart diseases and things like that.
Red, still, red makes a little sense.
I know.
Heart,
I'm just like,
the,
and I feel like we're going to run out of them eventually. Like,
oh, there's some that are already doubled
this,
up.
And
taupe will be next.
Chartreuse. Cerulean blue.
Ooh, I like that.
Or yeah, we'll do color mix, like stripes. Our ribbon mm-hmm. is striped yellow and orange. Well,
I saw one.
If it's yellow and orange, it's this. If it's yellow and red, it's this. It's kind of like when you're looking at the snakes. This color pattern means it's poisonous. This color pattern means it's not. So, perfect. So, can I move on now?
Yeah.
All right.
We're good.
Because
well,
I'm excited
to
talk about
so
the
anyway.
Ninja Turtles. So, as we were leading into the big build-up is we're anxious, we're nervous, we're whatever expression you want. A lot of people still excited because, like you said, Bay does have pull. And even though he's not directing, he is the executive producer. And for those that
are
familiar...
You mean there'll be less explosions?
No. And those of you that are, I was just about to say, familiar with Bay's work.
How many of those car wrecks are we going to see?
And how many buildings will be destroyed?
Okay. So, those of you that are familiar with Bay already do know, even if he is an executive producer, his hands are going to be on it significantly. He's one of those bosses that doesn't leave you alone. One of those that I'm often compared to. But I threw in your own.
There you go.
I did your work for you, Tyler. Yeah, I did your work for you. But it's a big budget movie. Well, not as big as his Transformers, but it's definitely got the special effects. It's a live action.
It's all CG.
30th, it's got Megan Fox.
30th anniversary of the Ninja Turtles coming out, but
No, you're not.
I have a sliver of excitement still.
You have a sliver of hope.
Of
not
hope.
Excitement, but hope.
And I will be seeing it opening weekend. I'm going to see it, and I will write an honest review afterwards. I'm going to do that review myself. I think
I feel like you're a little too close to the material. I feel like
I think it could be good. I think it could be
but
good.
I think if it's bad, he is going to tear it apart. He will tear it a new
castle.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be like, it's not going to get like a
mid-review. Oh, I
review.
Love the turtles.
There's no,
get,
there's
like,
no
the
five
worst
or six here.
You
can't be
ever,
right.
Or like the best review ever. Like,
fair.
That's
there are
saying,
no fair and balanced.
It's either going to be a one or two or a seven or an eight, probably. I'm already ruling out the 9,
there's
10
no
with Bay's
be a 9
name.
Or a 10.
Yeah, that's with Bay's name attached to it. I'm already ruled. You know, the little clip, because they're showing more and more clip trailers, I think, to try to enhance that excitement, because it is, the excitement
so
has kind of
they won't allow reviews
down.
To come out.
Yeah. I don't, like, none of them really have me that worried as I did and as I was worried initially, and maybe that's where my sliver of excitement is coming from.
Well, see, no, it's not that you're excited or that you think it can be good. It's that you're no longer worried that it's going to be complete crap, and there's a difference there.
Hey, I'll take it.
Is it going to be complete crap, though? Has anyone... Because, like, they're finally letting reviews out now.
So I have not seen very good
So
reviews.
here's the story with it. Initial screenings, they weren't allowing the reviews, but people who got the chance to see the initial screening were actually coming out, and I quote, I know, people
it's
were like,
Transformers
they're saying, 2. They're saying favorable
That's
things.
That's the faintest of praise that you could possibly give anybody.
But,
so they
but
weren't saying,
the
hold on, hold on. They were saying favorable things, but they were saying it in the words of, like, that was a lot better than I expected, or it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So a lot of that feedback.
Right.
Now, well, as Bob mentioned, too,
I
the
really
want to
see this movie now.
Exactly. These are the same people that put $1 billion into Transformers
That's
4.
True. That's
thing.
True.
Like, as much as
America
as much as
likes crap.
As much as we are movie buffs, we love movies.
Let's alienate the audience, Bob.
Well, it's like the fact that those movies make as much money as they do. People want to go see an escapist spectacle, regardless of whether or not it's a good film or not.
So
the problem is this doesn't have the advantage of being chock full of giant, badass
robots
right. beating the shit out of each other. It has creepy reptiles.
They don't
yeah.
look that bad.
They look
think,
a little creepy. Dude.
I don't think they
oh.
do.
Iggy, you were complaining
that
about
good.
Them earlier this year.
No, I was
year.
Not complaining. I've
I'm
never
not saying
complained.
They look
and
good
actually,
or bad.
There's recordings of me saying I'm not as angry about their looks as everybody else.
I'm not angry about their looks. I don't think they look good or bad. I think they're fairly. That's true.
So,
they're fairly true to what I guess a anthropomorphic reptile would look like.
Whether it's
but. They are creepy.
Whether it's going to be good or bad, I'm trying to move us on to the next point here. Whether it's going to be good or bad. The whole point here is to kind of commemorate 30 years of Ninja Turtles. So I want to spend... It's like a Ninja Turtles
funeral here. I feel like we should have
done
this...
I want to spend...
I feel like we should have done this episode 26 when you're just in this, like, dark, angry...
Let's commemorate 25 years of the turtles.
30 years, Tyler. Yeah. 30 years. So
remember,
All right. So
what is our,
I wanted to kind of get, where was your introduction to the Turtles? Was it the comics? Was it the cartoons? Maybe the Nintendo video game that was badass, or maybe the arcade game that was even more badass.
Right. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game,
was the better of the NES games
because it was the copy of the arcade game. It was phenomenal.
My first introduction to them was the, what was it, 87 till 89, the first animated series of it,
mm-hmm.
the one where they had that kind of weird mix of stuff from the Mirage comics, but then also stuff that they, from the Archie comics, they kind of threw it all together. Mm-hmm. So you had, like, you had white half-fly Baxter Stockman as opposed to, like, black non-fly Baxter Stockman. You had Krang and Dimension X and mm-hmm. the Neutrinos, but you also had Shredder. Like, it was that cartoon. Right. I had those VHS of, like, every VHS. And from there, saw all the movies, bought all the action figures, saw the live tour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, with Splinter skipping stones. I was reminded of that with
the Honest Trailer.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Bob, where was your introduction?
Oh,
to...
mine was the movie.
The movie? Okay.
It was just, you know, I mean, I was excited about seeing it, and it really wasn't that bad. It really wasn't.
It wasn't.
I love the first movie.
Yeah, the first movie was
fun. I still watch the first two movies.
I've tried to go back and watch them recently.
And the third one.
And the first one's good.
Oh, but then you get
the second
one
is creepy dark.
Yeah.
It's not even that it's good or bad. It's just really dark. I don't think I picked up on how dark it was as a child.
But it's got Vanilla Ice.
Well, that sequences where they go out to
that house
in the woods and stuff like
that.
That's
the first one, dude.
Is that the first one?
Yeah, that's the first one. That whole scene where Raph gets beat up and it's all
like the bathtub. That's
that
the
intense
first one?
Moment. That intense sequence.
I need to go
sequence.
Watch them again, I guess.
Yeah, that's the first one. The second one is a little.
Oh, the second one's with the big dandelions and what's his name playing the professor.
Yep.
And,
you got
Bebop
and
no, you have Toga and Rezar.
Oh, Toga and Rezar. Yeah. That's right.
Mommy or whatever.
Yeah,
Mama or whatever.
And I barely
babies. Babies.
And I barely
have
that's
Super
they,
Shredder.
That's the one they dump
Super Shredder, right.
Yeah.
They don't even dump Super Shredder. He knocks the thing over himself. I'm not complaining, remember? I'm excited about all this stuff.
I don't remember the third movie, though.
Turtles in Time? Come on.
I know.
What?
Jeez,
Bob. I know I saw it, and I haven't.
The sad thing is
but I haven't watched it.
Everything I remember about that movie is all about, the only parts of that movie that stick out of my mind as being like good and funny are all the scenes with Casey Jones taking the samurais out
babysitting
of the town.
The samurai.
Everything that happens in feudal Japan is kind of terrible.
Well, but the word kinda was used before then because it wasn't completely terrible. That's what we're talking. That's how we're going to talk about the Michael Bay one, right?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, did you answer? I know you were excited about the video games. What's your first introduction to the Turtles?
Would have been the TV show, the cartoon, the animated series,
for sure.
87. I mean, that was right in my sweet spot. I was.
Oh yeah.
6, 7, 8, 9. Like, it was phenomenal.
I can agree more. That was where it was. And then I had the Nintendo game after that where you had, like...
Did you have the
original Nintendo game where you would, like... You would,
Go down into the sewers.
Yes,
because
you'd be above the sewer
again.
And the most you could do was, like, the...
It was
thing,
the same. It was almost identical.
Sewer,
yeah. Did you ever play the Roger Rabbit game?
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing where you had to get across the map.
Yep.
To get there, you had to go into buildings and under the sewer. And stuff.
And you
like
got
that.
A little bit more freedom once you got into the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
But everything was still the 2D side-scroller.
And
it was great because you would, like, if you had the nunchucks, you would just, like, straight up and straight down.
Yeah.
Or
the
sword
the best.
Came
because, like,
out
the
back.
Worst was the bow staff because I always wanted to play as Donatello and he would just stick it out. Like,
yeah.
So that was the only
move. I think he had two moves because
he would just
pull it over his head the once and then.
Oh,
yeah.
You had to jump to do that one, though. You
oh, that's
jump
right.
To do that one,
that's
though.
Right.
Otherwise,
so.
He would just stick it out in front
yep.
of him.
Yeah.
Like
pink.
And then, but you did have Bebop and Rocksteady in that, of course. And then Shredder pulled the typical, not in the castle, ran away. Like. Oh, no, a princess in another castle.
That was a really hard game, too.
It was.
It was a blast. That one and Chip and Dale, I felt like I played all the time. But
see, I DuckTales. That was a game.
But the arcade game, just phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, my
right.
God.
And then the release of that on the Nintendo was where it was at. So.
That was on Super Nintendo, though, right?
No. They released the original arcade game as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game.
On the regular
Nintendo.
It was on I had the game. I just didn't remember what system it was.
The best thing is because that was the one... That the arcade game was so good because it was that one at the same time with X-Men. They had three screens and you could play with four players and you each take a different character. And it was so much fun. You get four friends and you fight through those. You start in that burning hotel and you fight through and then you fight Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yep.
The drill comes up. God, I played that game a lot.
Dropped a ridiculous amount of money on that game with four friends.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know. The Ninja Turtles, though, to me have always been, and the reason, you know, I think I have so much hope for this weekend, even though I'm probably going to be let down, is that it's always, like, as long as I can remember, I have always had, somehow had the Ninja Turtles, you know, some kind of interaction with them in my life. It's as weird as that sounds. But for those that love geek and pop culture, they have that thing that they're heavily involved, like watching or reading or whatever. And as of right now, I'm reading the rebooted comic series that Kevin Eastman is a part of again. That's good.
Is that the IDW one from 2008?
Yeah. So I've read that. I think there are a couple volumes ahead of me. I'm through six, but I think they've released 8 or 9 now.
Is the IDW one good? I've heard mixed things.
It's fantastic.
It, so.
It's
Eastman
great.
Back. That's.
It's great, and then you also
the Mirage.
Have...
They were with Mirage is where it started with Eastman and
Laird,
and then it went to Archie Comics, I think.
I believe you're right. I believe you're right.
That's where it got like the funnier.
That's where, as a kid too, that's where I started picking up in the beginning of it. I never read the original ones
because I feel like the Archie Comics and the 87 something series were all like coincided.
They were they definitely kiddied it up, I guess, a little bit, and then all the toys. I remember I had the Pizza Shooter.
Which
did you see?
It's in the trailer, right?
No, they've actually built a, who is it? Is it Honda or is it, I can't remember who it was. It was an American model. It has built an actual full size functioning, pizza shooter.
Oh.
The pizza shooter vehicle. Yes.
Because I had the turtle van.
I had the turtle van too.
Because if you could build, you could drop down the door and the motorcycle would shoot off of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
It was amazing. And I think every birthday and every Christmas, I needed something Ninja Turtles. This is what I need. I need it in my life. That's how I felt. And I still feel that way about Ninja Turtles. I own all the other ones. I like the animated movie, early 2000s animated movie.
TMNT.
It was really good. Solid. Another Chris Evans comic book movie, voices Casey Jones. But to me, the Ninja Turtles has always just been a part of that, and it's amazing to have two children who fully embrace and love the Turtles as well.
I'll tell you what, the new cartoon that just started back in 2012.
The Nickelodeon one?
It's really good.
Yeah,
because I remember trying to watch the other one in the late 90s, and I was a little too old for it, but I remember trying to watch the one. It was bad. I did not like it.
Not as bad as the live action series in the late 90s.
That was right.
By Saban?
Yeah.
Like the,
yeah.
The
what was more, the like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, I can't even remember what it was called, but it was
the one where they introduced the fifth turtle, the female turtle, Venus de Milo.
Venus, yeah, thank you, Venus.
Who used shinobi magic to fight.
Yes.
And then they would do crossovers with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, also by Saban.
Now, Bob, you're a little bit more quiet on this topic, so the Ninja Turtles, are they not as deep-rooted in your life as over here? He's making a face. That's where you...
They really aren't. I mean, you know, like I said, I would see the movies when they come out, but I never got into the TV series, you know, or the animated series. And, you know, I did enjoy the TMNT. But, yeah, I just never really... I'm showing my age. I never got it.
Never got it?
Yeah.
What did you need to get? They were turtles.
Exactly.
Megan Fox can get it, Bob. I think you can get it.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, I'm going to see this movie, you know, maybe I'll like it, maybe I won't, I don't know, but I'm just not, like I said, turtles, ninjas, I don't know.
Well, when you put it that way, that's the new trailer clip where
it's
like,
it's bad.
We're your turtles, we're ninjas, you're mutants, teenage mutant ninja turtles, so it's I don't know, it's gonna be
I've stopped watching trailers.
The problem is you got to think it's so much of the turtles of our youth were cliche, where had campy moments,
they were
had
created
all
to be a
yeah
weird,
exactly
over the top cliche,
so yeah. For those moments to show up in these trailers, it doesn't bother me as much. The look of the turtles now, and like I said, I as far back as we can go, I've said over and over again, I'm not as, I know a lot of people, Aaron's been really driven about it. We've talked about it on podcasts before where people are like you said, Tyler, you're just not pleased with it. I don't really have that issue. I'm excited now that William Finchler is now not the Shredder, that it was, we were thrown for a
Oh, Fichtner's not the Shredder?
Yeah, he's okay. Not. He's Fichtner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
spoiler alert.
They've shown him. Well, it's in the trailers. Show him talking to Shredder. Now he's basically his.
It was a misdirection. Yeah. Though.
Is Shredder going to be like a big giant robot? Is that what we're doing here?
No. He's a
guy.
He's a big dude with a lot of shredding going on his costume.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know.
He looks like Edward Scissorhands.
It's not even that I'm completely and utterly apathetic towards it now, like, which is impressive. Like, I don't know how you've managed to take something that was that important and make me legitimately not care whether or not it's good, bad, or succeeds or doesn't. Like, I will eventually see it.
Yeah,
but
I really, really, really like
the Ninja Turtles.
Tyler,
I owned
that's
every
the difference.
Other action.
That's the difference between us. You're crazy
fan.
Pessimistic. And
I'm
just a little pessimistic.
No, I'm not even pessimistic about it. I legitimately
I'm talking about in life in general.
I don't even
in
care anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They've reached a point where, like, this has absolutely no bearing on my like of the Ninja Turtles, and its success or failure, I legitimately don't care.
It's like you're just going to pretend it didn't happen.
No,
like,
I mean, maybe it'll
we'll
be good, and if
some
it's
point
good,
in time,
hey,
yeah,
fantastic.
I'm with him on this.
If it's bad, I will not, like, it's not going to, it can't hurt my views on Michael Bay any. And it's not going to make me like the Ninja Turtles less.
So are you going to see it at least?
Eventually. No. I doubt I'll see it in the theater. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I'll see it in the theater.
The only thing I worry about is, like, there's certain things about the Ninja Turtles. The problem is people talk about Ninja Turtles is one of those few things where you can't get all high and mighty about, well, it's not really true to the characters, because there's been 15 different, like, comic book iterations of them. There's been 4 or 5 different animated TV shows, a live action shows, 4 movies, 1 animated, 3 live action. There's no, like, unless you want to go back
canon.
To the really
it's
dark.
Like you said, there's been a music concert touring show.
I'm sure that at some point I may have missed out on it. There was probably Turtles on Ice at some point. I don't know. That used to be a thing in the 90s.
I would have
that was
everything.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
was on ice.
That was Disney typically, though, that put
I know,
everything
but
on ice.
Turtles like, on Ice, I feel like that was probably a thing.
If
probably.
You could get kids to go to it, they'd do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a Mighty Ducks cartoon show about alien ducks who played hockey and fought.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I remember that.
I feel
okay
like there was
that.
Probably.
Was
we're
that,
going back
yeah.
to Disney.
True. This is true. Anyway, but unless you go back to, like, the thing that everyone that we know, like, people our age, what we think of as the Ninja Turtles is the Archie comics and the 87 cartoon, not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original comic book. Like, that Eastman Laird thing, if you go back, like, it's much different, it's much darker, there's not a lot of cowabungas and tubulars and pizzas and skateboards, it's something else entirely. So, what I think of as being the Ninja, like, who my Ninja Turtles are not the same as, you know, the original one. So everyone else has a different take on who the Ninja Turtles are and how they behave. So at the same time, I can still feel like I can get mad. Like, so pick the version of them you're going to embrace. And I think everyone kind of sticks to that late 80s version of them.
Yeah.
And it's fine if you stay true to that. And they say funny things like cowabunga and love pizza.
I think we need
like
we need a drinking game.
It's the problem
how many
is
times they say cowabunga in
if
one of
you,
those movies.
But at the same time, if you do it in a way that's like, that's who they are, cool. If you do it in a, like, they're grinning and, like, mugging at the camera, like, haha, see how we said cowabunga, isn't that funny? Like, that, I'm worried that, like, seeing the trailers, I'm worried that they're going to make a lot of jokes like that. Like, make a crack and then, like, they're practically staring at the camera, like, did you catch that? The part where we said cowabunga?
We're gonna have
isn't
a,
that so ironic and hilarious?
After he says cowabunga, 15 seconds of silence.
Yeah, some,
everybody
well,
stands
like,
still.
Some movies do it well. Like, some movies do it well. Like, you have to, like, stay true to, like, pay homage to, like, the origins, but make it something new. So, like, you go back and watch, like, an original X-Men, it's like, really? You want me to wear this? You prefer yellow spandex? Throwaway line, funny, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I worry that with Michael Bay and his aversion to subtlety, it's going to be a lot of, like...
Nice way of putting it.
Let's make sure we can say all these... Let's make pizza jokes and hit you over the head with cowabunga jokes, and then just make sure you know that... We're making a joke of it. We're not serious about
One thing y'all give Michael Bay, though, is he didn't kill Optimus Prime.
I mean, he sort of did.
Yeah, he did. Then he brought him back.
He killed him, and then Shia LaBeouf brought him back with the magical, mystical
exactly.
ghost.
So he wasn't just
from
dead
the ghost
for...
robots gave him the thing of something leadership or something.
Was that in the second
so
movie
bad.
Or the
yeah. third
it
one?
It was the second. Yeah.
Second?
No, it was
the
second piece of
crap. He gets killed in the first, like, 15 minutes of the movie.
Oh, does he?
Because, like, remember they had that really awesome fight scene with Megatron? Like, it's the best part of the entire movie. Well, and after that fight sequence is over,
that's
it's
what
all
I get for defending Michael
there.
Bay. I have to eat my words. But that's for sure.
Michael Bay doesn't have the touch, nor does he have the power.
Thank you, Tyler. That was very, very much needed. I feel like you should have the cell phone out, though, into the microphone for the whole song. But
you've got the touch.
With the Ninja Turtles, I think at the end of this weekend, it for sure, like, I think you brought up a good point of the Turtles I'll always hold on to will be the late 80s, no matter what level this movie ends up being. I've loved many iterations of them. I love the new graphic novel. I enjoyed the movies. I really think, and you even said, you know, that first live action Ninja Turtles movie holds up really well.
It really does.
And surprisingly well. And it's harder
for. Well, they got a lot of good people in it, too.
Yeah, and you got Henson.
Yeah,
the Henson Company making.
Company doing that.
For their time, like, those suits are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
You get, what's his name? I've always found it fascinating that Elias Koteas plays Casey Jones. Like, a really serious, well-thought-of actor. Casey Jones, all the way. I love it.
And does a good job.
It does a fantastic job. Takes it very seriously.
No, was
Gina Davis the first April O'Neil?
Yeah.
And then some random person is, like, the second one.
Like, the next one, don't know.
If you haven't watched the honest trailer for The Secret of the Ooze, you need to watch it, because it's really, it makes you be like, why did I like that movie? Why did I like that?
And I didn't even realize that there was ninja, such an outcry ninja, about the weapons.
No, he goes, no ninja, no ninja, ninja, no. In the trailer, we'll watch it after this. But good point with the weapons. That was very funny. But we'll not do too many spoilers on the honest trailer. Go watch it, and we'll show it to the guys here who haven't seen it yet. But I think Tyler probably wins the podcast with the one line. Is no matter what happens. Not only with this movie, but going forward, anything with the Turtles, they'll always have that spot in pop culture somewhere. They've proven at this point, if you're going to survive for 30 years, not just survive, thrive for 30 years, you're going to thrive for another 30. You're going to thrive for another
15. Well, I think that's the difference between these. Like, we've talked about Michael Bay's favorite thing now is to, you know, go
Butcher.
Take parts of my childhood and rape them into submission.
Yes.
But the difference is...
And that was the PG version of what we think.
I know, seriously. That the Turtles have a much better, longer, fuller track record than the Transformers have. The Transformers were really popular toys that we didn't decide to turn into cartoons and movies and stuff like that. Where the Ninja Turtles had an origin, there was more meat behind it before it got to a point. So, like, Michael Bay can destroy, like, the Transformers, with the exception of, like, the one cartoon. Like, there was one really good Transformers cartoon. And then there's been, and throughout the 90s, there were 50, and I think maybe that's it. There's a lot of Transformers stuff out there. It's not a lot of good Transformers, because they saturated the market through the 90s between Beast Wars and Dinobots and, like, 15 different versions of. There were so many Transformers cartoons. The War for Cybertron.
What new Transformers toy can we sell? Because, like you said, it's driven by a toy company. So
yeah,
what
right.
new
it was,
can
it was
we
a
introduce?
Toy that became a cartoon show. So I don't know. Same with, but then there's ones that it worked for, like G.I. Joe or whatever. But there's, I think the brand and our memories and, like, the pop culture relevancy of the Transformers was damaged and hurt by Michael Bay. I don't think he can destroy the Turtles he did to Transformers.
That's
now,
true.
Granted, talk to me 4 movies from now, and maybe I'll have a different opinion. If they let him keep making them.
If he gets to 4 movies, though, that means they'll be making some money, and so that means
it's gonna
more
make
toys,
money.
More cartoons, more.
Yeah, the kids are gonna want to see that
for sure. I don't know.
I think they're kicking themselves for thinking they could come out a week after Guardians of the Galaxy, though.
Probably. Well, I don't know, because a year ago, that didn't seem like such
That's
a big
what I'm
threat.
Saying. I'm saying nowadays, I think today they're like, we shouldn't have bet against the rocket and the raccoon in the tree. Yeah. That was a bad call on our part. Well, because what is it that comes out next week too?
Sin City comes out.
Next week is Expendables.
There you go, Expendables, and then Sin City. I mean, not that there's a, like, the Venn diagrams don't have a lot of overlap for those 4 movies, but enough that it's going to hurt all 4 of those movies.
Mm-hmm. You think. Yeah. I mean, though, enough, like you said, to hurt, because the main Turtles generation is our generation.
Yeah. Right, and we're the older kids who are the ones who
also the prime demo. We were supposed to be the prime demo for Transformers movies, and that has totally shifted.
It's true. So. True. Very true.
And your kids love Ninja Turtles, too. Yeah. So.
Yes. Very much so. But Turtles, I guess, to say here at the end of it all, Turtles, I guess, is enough to me that when I'm thinking I need some kind of pop culture, you know, tattoo is what I'm thinking. I want to add a tattoo that's like, this is my thing. The Turtles and Batman has been the debate. I can't decide which one to get, and because those
both
two,
of them.
That's
gotta,
true.
Got to put them on. Where are you going to put it?
I could do if I did both. I got two cheeks, so
no.
It was just for you, Tyler and Bob.
All
right.
I mean, so first of all, let's be honest. If you're getting a tattoo, it's going to be Witchblade.
No.
Yep.
No.
Witchblade pinup.
No. No.
Yeah, have we talked about this on a podcast before? You getting a Witchblade tattoo?
No. A long time ago, I think.
Did we? We talked about it in Chicago.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I don't remember.
Oh, that's right.
Because they had the tattoo stuff in C2E2.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, and we were talking about you getting a big busty Witchblade.
I was going to say, so how much do you think it's going to make this weekend?
It's a good way to close. I honestly, so if we think, obviously our big weekend was last weekend. Number one, what do you think Guardians brings in another?
I think Guardians takes 50% dip.
So you think another 50
to 60?
I think
Guardians at 47, and I think Turtles is probably 35.
I think 35, 40 right in there for Turtles.
Maybe more. Turtles might make more than that, but if I had to guess, just based on the reviews and the fact that Guardians is still going strong, Guardians just shy of 50, Turtles just shy of 40.
I was gonna say Guardians.
I'll buy that.
I was going to say Guardians low 50s, Turtles low 40s is what I was thinking. So it sounds like we're all in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Does anyone think there's any chance that Turtles beats Guardians?
Not with the word of mouth. Guardians.
Not with
I don't. And I think because of all the things in our movie night with Project Nerd podcast, we listed, there's too many wild card draws, ins for Guardians.
There's too many ins
the
for
music,
kind
the
of
music,
person.
The animated characters, the comedy piece of it. Too much of that, and there's too much from our generation, too much fear of the Turtles that I don't think it can. It's one of those things, though, that if we come back next week and we say, well, it happened, I wouldn't be completely blindsided.
You look at the Transformers and some of those big budget action movies, maybe not the best films, but full of spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
Does Turtles win the worldwide walking away? I don't know how wide it's opening.
I don't even think Turtles beats Transformers 4 in total run this year.
No, I'm saying coming for this weekend.
Guardians hasn't even opened up in half.
How many is Turtles opening up in? Is Turtles opening wide in the world worldwide?
I'm sure base saturating it.
Because though his movies make worldwide money like it's their job.
Between
China, parts of Europe, Russia, and stuff like that. Those big budget.
I don't know.
Spectacle.
I think Guardians though still hits some of those markets better.
I don't think Turtles is as much of a spectacle
as Transformers.
No.
Mm-hmm. So you're instantly losing your people out for an action film who just happened to go see Transformers.
To be honest, I think if you Transformers 4 coming out this same year even hurts the Turtles a little bit.
Probably.
So I think more than probably even Guardians of the Galaxy there, but all right. So
Marvel, I mean, if it, say what else you will about Marvel, Marvel has is the first movie studio that has successfully managed to extend the summer blockbuster season.
Yeah.
August is now officially still part of the whole summer blockbuster season. So.
And they launch early too.
So, yep. And it seems like each year it's getting earlier and earlier. So, okay. So this weekend, Bob, are you seeing it opening weekend? Ninja Turtles?
Possibly. Like I said, tomorrow night I'm going to Into the Storm, the tornado movie.
Okay.
And
which looks worse than Ninja
Twister 2.
I know, but I'm actually not going to be in town. I have to work up north. It depends if the theater up there. It's a three screens in a small town. I know Guardians is playing.
I think they would have Turtles. It would seem logical, but
they play crap.
Tyler, I know you still got to get back to Guardians, so
I'm going to go see Guardians tomorrow for sure. Probably going to go see it at Cinetopia, like an IMAX or something.
Ooh. Okay,
because I had to watch it at our theater.
Is this your first Cinetopia?
Yes. Ooh. Haven't been there yet. Enjoy. I've been to obviously that AMC down the street many times, but haven't been to Cinetopia. I've been by it. Haven't been there.
So a couple maybes. Adam,
I've got Sunday off, so. I don't know. It's really going to be based entirely off of.
I'm going Sunday.
Any of you guys see it?
You want to go Sunday? I'm going.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm going to have to read some more reviews before I plunk the money down, like plunk the $10 down to get angry at the movie.
Adam's shaking his head. No.
Nope. The only movie I'm probably not seeing Guardians this weekend. Maybe. Probably not.
Probably not. Maybe.
I'm going to leave that open. I'm definitely seeing Draft House has Fifth Element.
Oh, the late show on Saturday.
Yeah, the late show on Saturday.
Yeah,
that's what I'm doing.
We're going to be out there from Otaku doing a couple panels. So if you are in Kansas City, this we air Friday. Oh, yeah. So tomorrow, come check us out, Mataku. We will be there from 4 to 6 doing panels.
And I'll be at Fifth Element at the Draft House.
And then we're going to be catching some behind the scenes action of a photo shoot after that with the Initiative photo group or production group, and then Red Star Cosplay. But then I don't know. It's hard if I'll stay out there because my kids will be gone all week. So I don't know. Like, it depends how much time I get with them early Saturday. If
so you're not going to take Orion to Turtles?
Yeah, we're going on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
We're going to go locally here. So, all right. Well, with that, of course, as always, Turtles will. Are they doing any late Thursday night viewings?
They probably
Turtles?
Are.
Okay. Somewhere.
So if you catch it early, we'll put this on the site late Friday afternoon. So. Of course, all weekend you can comment on our post, on our Podbean post, on our site post, and if we share it on social media, let us know what you thought of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Feel free to let us know what you thought about the Twister 2 or whatever they're calling it, Into the Storm, as well, of course, any feedback on Guardians of the Galaxy. Other than that, something we've asked for a couple times and we forget to extend that ask and follow up on it. Definitely let us know if you have any questions for some topics next episode. Of course, we'll talk about what's relevant, what's in at that point, but we do definitely want to take an episode upcoming here before we wrap this season to spend at least half of it just answering some listener questions, since we do have a lot of listeners now that we're excited to have you on board. Let us know, of course, in the comments. I'll make sure Adam reminds me.
We'll get it on social media.
Yes,
don't worry.
Thank you. Adam will take care of that instead of me, because when it's left to me, it's not getting done. So we'll get some things out there to make sure we get some questions for you. And then, of course, you can tune in next Friday to get those questions answered. So
same bad time, same bad channel.
Cowabunga.
All right. So signing off for a very Ninja Turtles filled weekend for some of us, at least. Signing off for another episode of the Nerdcast. We will catch you next week.